Are you going to come watch us play?
Yeah, I thought you were going to let me play with you.
No, you can pick up the balls.
Let me, me and Sterling will beat you and Connor.
All right, we can get content with that. You guys will not even okay. score more than 5 points.
Me and Connor would beat you and Sterling.
No.
Ooh, what?
No. Done.
Okay,
let's text go. Sterling.
Text Sterling, tell him you found a fourth. Let me play. I have my stuff in the car.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are live to a special episode of King of the Court. We are thrilled to have in person
in the flesh.
One and only Tui Nation, CJ, Connor Garnett.
CJ? CG.
CG.
What's your middle name?
My middle name is Connor.
Throws
it off. RCG. Robert.
Talking to here as much as you can.
You screwed it up.
Yeah.
Tyler.
All right. Welcome, Connor Garnett. He is visiting Utah. He's here for another couple days. He's taught a couple clinics. How have those been?
Yeah, it's been great. I've been to Salt Lake a little bit with my prior job, so it's cool to be out here. I haven't hit the slopes yet, but Salt Lake is a ton of fun.
I think most of them are closed now. There might
There's
be
a little snow on that mountain. You might be able to get some.
Yeah, go
are
hike.
You skier?
Big skier.
Really?
Woo. Yeah. I haven't skied in a bit, but growing up.
But you're from California, though, so you didn't have snow out there,
no,
right?
No, stop. Well, let's get this out of the way. Let's start early. Let's get this out of the way. Adam Stone, tune in. Connor, where did you grow up?
So, you know, I grew up in Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
But the first time I ever played pickleball was in Orange County.
Okay, but I've never seen it. So, like, I don't have a map in front of me, but Seattle is here and Orange County's here.
I mean, it's drivable is the thing, though.
How old are you?
27.
And how long did you live in Seattle for?
You know, there was a good chunk of time I was in Seattle. So good chunk of time I was in Orange County.
And in between there, Santa Clara?
This is true, yeah.
Are you the second most famous Santa Clara Bronco ever behind Steve Nash?
You know, I'd like to say yes, but there's a few others. There's the guy in Criminal Minds that played Derek Morgan. So and a few others. And the women's soccer team has a ton of celebs
there.
So
that's
I can't
true.
Really compare to that.
Okay, well, that's not bad. That's
Jimmy
not bad
loves company. Women's soccer.
Big women's soccer fan. Not a big microphone fan.
All right, Jimmy.
So, Connor, let's just give us a little rundown. So you played high school tennis. You played college tennis at Santa Clara. The big thing that everybody loves to talk about is you were a hitting partner for Djokovic, right?
Yep.
And others.
Yeah.
Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, so grew up in Seattle.
Did you know Allie Welch in Seattle?
I did not. We were a couple years apart, but played in...
She's much older than you?
She's a little older.
Oh, that's weird.
Played in some of the state championship stuff, different years though, and then went and played high school tennis in Interlake and Santa Clara for undergrad. Played there all 4 years. Did 1 year in England. Played... Oh. Over there, it was basically just an excuse to play another year of tennis and get a master's well. And during that time, was a hitting partner at the U.S. Open, got a hit with Djokovic. Crazy experience. I was a hitting partner just for anyone, so I hit with a lot of the qualifiers first and then got called up to hit with Monfils, Djokovic, Halep, and a few others.
What was your UTR?
So I think my highest UTR was like right around a 13. When I was a hitting partner, it was probably like mid 12s.
So and you weren't banned by UTR like James Ignatovich?
I did not know he was banned by UTR.
How do you get banned from UTR?
Fun fact. Fun story. You lie.
About what?
I'm not going to tell the story. It's not my story to tell. Okay? Him and Harrison Gold.
Did he say that he beat Federer or something? Or Nadal?
I don't know what happened, but...
Well, you can like submit entries, so
yeah,
you could like submit
the,
an entry.
Yeah,
like duper. Like,
yeah.
Like, what's the dude's duper, not guilty pickleball that was submitting fake entries? Did you hear that story?
I think I did, yeah.
That guy that runs Not Guilty Pickleball was submitting fake duper matches to get himself above a 5-0.
Wow.
It means a lot to some people.
It does. Some of us are naturally above a 5-0, 5.097, and others of us have to submit fake ones. So
built different, I guess.
Yeah, built a little different. So you were hitting partner in England, then you come back. Is this when you moved to Orange County?
Yeah, came back, moved back to Seattle, and really kind of crazy. I was supposed to start working in Seattle with my job. COVID hit, and basically they were like, our headquarters is in OC. The one of the head guys in the Seattle office moved to Utah in our Salt Lake office.
Oh, okay.
And so they were like, if you want to work for us, you got to move down to Orange County. So moved to Orange County and then just stumbled into pickleball.
How did you find pickleball? Like, how did you introduce it? Is there somebody that...
Yeah, so when I was a hitting partner, Krista Gacheva was working in ops there, and she like went out like with like a big group of us on like a night out, and she ended up going to OC. I think she was in Florida at the time, and reached out, and I was like there and had no idea what pickleball was, and she was like, let's go play pickleball. I was like, all right, let's do it. Played there, played like these 3-5 guys. Someone asked if I was pro after. I was kind of feeling myself. I was like, oh my goodness, like I'm just a tennis player. And then realized how bad I was shortly after as I got my butt kicked. And then one of my coworkers, Claire, she also got me into one of the clubs there. And so we played a little bit and met Ryan Hurley, my Florence sponsor buddy and stuff like that. And so it just kind of crazy small world with a ton of connections.
And what year was this?
This was...
21?
We're in 23 now, so 21.
We're in 24 now.
So I think 22. Because I quit January of last year, and then I started playing April the year before.
So you just quit your job January 23.
January 23.
So last year. A full year.
So yeah, but you've only been full-time pickle for basically a year and 4 months.
Yeah, so basically soon as I got drafted to Challenger MLP, it was like they said you had to come out on Wednesday.
The slice?
Yeah, the slice. And at that point, it was like I could work remotely a little bit, but if I wanted to leave on a Tuesday, that was just crazy.
Yeah.
So quit the job and then was fortunate enough to be drafted MLP and have the PPA contract. So that was kind of my rationale of like I have enough set up here in pickleball to give it a go.
How's it worked out for you?
Terrible, you know, just
you regret it every day.
Exactly.
I have to get back into the investment side.
Just want to be there at 3 a.m. grinding some Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, how many medals? Do you know how many medals you have?
I think I have around 15.
How many are in singles and how many are in doubles?
A lot more are in singles. I would say it's probably like a 10-5 split.
Okay, that's still not
so
bad. That's
so, you know,
by the way, in our last pod, Jimmy said that Federico has won 4 consecutive golds. That's incorrect because this guy...
No, I said he's been to nine straight finals.
No, I think you said he had won 4 consecutive golds.
No, Connor beat him.
I know he did.
I watched it.
I know, but I think you had said
you
that.
You didn't.
Somebody in the comments said that. You were wrong.
Dude, I can't get anything by these people.
Check the tape.
Someone just told me I pronounce Alex Trong's name wrong. Alex, how do you pronounce it? Also, we're jumping around here, but let's jump around real quick. Last tournament, you win a bronze.
Yes.
With Alex.
Yep.
How many of those missed serves were yours and how many were hers?
You know, I just like to...
Who had the yips?
You know, we had a great tournament, and I wanted to give Alex a chance to see if we could win with one serve, and, you know, she came up big with her serve, and outside of the serve, we were crushing it. So
how many?
I look at the stats line.
Outside the serve. I look at the stats line.
Do we know how many you actually missed?
You know, I
heard the number was like 9. Is that true?
That's probably around there, but hey. I like to look at the tape. Who won that match?
Is pickleball getting so easy that you're missing serves on purpose to give yourself a challenge?
You know, I mean, hey, we got the bronze, we got the dub, and you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And hey, if it got closer, you know, the serve would have come back, and we would have got it done.
Are you practicing your serves?
You know,
after this, are you going to go practice your serves?
I mean, it's tough. You know, there's the Tyler philosophy of, you know, not drilling too much.
I've been working on my serve.
What do you think about that? What's the Connor Garnett philosophy? You're a big singles guy.
Yeah.
Obviously. What's your philosophy on the serve? Do you hit a big,
prefer
a big serve where maybe your margin of error is a little bit higher, or are you just trying to get it in?
Yeah. So 100% going for the big serve.
Okay.
Wow.
But that's, I mean, you can look in the last couple of tournaments. So like in the LA final, I was hitting my serve bigger than before. I had a few missed serves in the semi there. So I've been kind of updating my serve to go a little bigger.
So I haven't really seen you play too much the last two tournaments. So keep that in mind. But I would say that your serve is not a huge, huge...
Tyler, can you please keep your dog in check?
Huge weapon.
Correct.
But you are going for it.
Yeah. So I would say.
Are you telling? Wait, did you just say he's going for it, but you can't notice he's going for it?
That's what I'm saying.
No, that's what you just said.
So I would say.
That came out a little bit wrong.
So lately, I've been going for it more. And so in.
Because I would say that about most of the top singles players, Fed, it doesn't look like he's really going for a serve. It doesn't look like it.
And Fed has a solid serve. I would say lately, like, you see Jack Sock going for it a lot more.
Yep.
And so that's forcing us to push the issue a little bit. And each tournament, I would say just the serves in general from the singles guys are getting bigger.
I would agree.
Your top.
But like James Ignatovich, I would say he's going for
who's your top five serves in singles? Obviously, Deckel doesn't play a lot of singles. So
yeah.
I would say James.
James, if he's playing
Christian
singles.
Alshon.
Christian, without a doubt.
Ben can. He doesn't always, but he can.
What about Tyson's?
Tyson, yeah. Tyson's got to be up there. I would say those three. Sock, of course.
Yeah.
This tournament.
Which Sock is interesting because I would say up until the last two or three tournaments, he wasn't going for a serve much either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And then Donald, when he actually goes for it.
Donald Young.
Yeah, Donald Young. In practice, he has one of the dippiest serves. He gets like a lot of action on it. And a little bit in Houston when I was playing him, he was getting some action and getting some free points off it.
Gotcha.
That makes sense. So we'll go. Let's go to your recent singles run. You beat Fed two tournaments.
This is LA Open.
LA Open. So not Red Rock, the tournament before that. Last ball of the match.
Last ball of the match.
Did
you hook him?
No, I mean, it's on center court. I'm going to call it out if I see it's out. I know that there's the cameras there. If I thought it was in, I wouldn't call it.
That's actually a really good philosophy. You know the camera's there, and so they're going to get it right one way or the other, right?
Yeah, if I think it's out and I'm on center court, I'm more likely to call it. If it's on a back court, I would typically give more of margin.
It's not a bad philosophy.
That actually is a really good philosophy.
Yeah.
How come you've never come up with anything like that?
I've never been.
Did you hook people in junior tennis? Tyler says everybody hooks in junior tennis.
No.
I wouldn't say hooks, but makes bad calls.
Like Allie does.
For
sure.
So
every single pickleball player I know has made a bad call, whether it's
small
intentional or unintentional.
And hooking people. Now you see why he has a 10-year career.
A 10-year what?
Career.
Yeah, exactly. But there's not one person that I know that has made a bad call unintentionally or intentionally.
So in that match, because this brings me to another point. So in that match, you had quite a few matches. You got to 10. It was like 10.
10-3.
And then he kind of battled back a little.
Not a ton. So 10-3.
Yeah.
Timeout. Missed serve. He hit a big serve.
You missed the serve. That's what it was. Out of a timeout. An offensive timeout.
Hey, I'd been there. Fetty was up 7-3 on me in Minnesota. I needed to calm the nerves a little bit.
So is it hard to close that out? Like, because we saw, so Tyler and I talked about this in our last pod, Tina Pisnik had a freaking overhead sitter.
Yeah.
And put it right into the net, dumps it in the net in a 10-3 game. And then they end up getting to like 7 before they're able to close it out. So like, how tough is it in that moment to close that out when you like, you're there, it's over.
Yeah. I think the more of an emotional person you are, like when you're super excited and you want it a ton, it's a little tougher. But like that match, I would say I was even more reserved than I normally am on the court because I wanted to focus on the job. And so that made it a little easier when you can kind of silence that stuff ahead of the match going in, just being like, hey, I have a job to do, and taking the emotions a little bit out of it. But yeah, when it's your first, it's gnarly.
Yeah.
So I've watched quite a few of your singles matches when they're being live streamed. And I don't know if you remember all of these or just some of them, but there's been many matches where you've been up on them against these top players, Ben Johns, Federico, all these guys, and they have ended up winning those matches. Do you remember those specific matches?
Do you feel like that was the mental hurdle you had to overcome?
100%. I think that was, that was huge. I think especially in Minnesota, that one in particular, where I was up comfortably and then Fed came back, it was something that I've been working on and feel like LA gave me a lot of confidence for that. And it's a lot of the mindset. I feel like when I'm playing well, I can get on those runs, but it's having the mental discipline to close that out.
How much singles are you training for, like, compared to doubles?
Honestly, not enough. I don't play a ton of singles at the beginning of the year, I was a little bit injured. So I was really trying to make sure when I was playing singles, I wasn't hurting my body any worse. And so now I'm starting to ramp it up a little bit, but it's...
Give us a percentage, like 10%, 20%, 30%?
At the beginning, 5%. Now it's like 15%, but probably coming up, like the ideal balance is 35%.
So who do you train with in your hometown of Orange County, Costa Mesa?
Yeah.
Where do you live, Costa Mesa?
Hometown.
Hometown hero of Orange County.
Hometown. There's a song called Hometown Heroes. It's not bad.
I'll train with like Callan, Hayden, DJ, Derek, Shearer, some of those guys, Moo, Warren, Mary, Maggie.
Okay.
Do you play at Los Cab?
I'll play at Los Cab. That's probably the place I'll play more than most just because that's closer to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm traveling so much that usually I'm playing just on the road.
I heard at Los Cab that it used to be a tennis facility. Slowly, they've converted it to pickleball, and there's still 6 to 8 tennis courts, but I heard that they're converting all of those tennis courts to pickleball courts. Is that true?
I know they're converting a chunk of them. I saw something the other day where they already started doing that a little bit.
So they'll have around 60 pickleball courts is what I heard.
Crazy.
Yeah. I think those will still, some of those will still be temp pickleball courts because I know they have like some tennis academies there as well.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's a lot of
pickleball That's crazy. Courts. 60 pickleball 60 courts.
60 is insane.
That's like, a lot.
That's, yeah. Shout out the Brashas for growing in Orange County.
Also, they just added another like 20 C&D pickleball nets, which is one of our sponsors.
Yes.
Pretty cool. Did.
Hey, will you tell Mary to unblock me?
Connor? She blocked him.
She blocked you?
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious what that story is. I feel like there's an interesting
I'm
story
still
there.
Hurt by it. I don't know.
Connor just laughs.
I don't know. Just tell her. Just next time you're down all there, all right. Just say, Mary, I know Jimmy well.
Maybe I'm blocked you. I just haven't looked.
No, she likes you.
Well, you'd think she'd like you.
Why?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think it's because she had mono, and I said, how'd you get mono, Mary? Isn't that the kissing disease?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it the kissing disease?
Don't you get mono from kissing?
Well, there's multiple ways.
Yeah, that's one of the ways.
Yeah, so I just assumed.
There you go, assuming. That's why people don't like you, Jimmy, is because
you assume. No, they love me. They love me. Okay, so moving forward, you and Tyler had a big run in Minnesota together.
Yep.
Made it to the finals. You carried him. He got on your back.
His shoulder still hurts from that.
Sore. You guys get to the finals. That's your only men's doubles finals of the year, right? So far.
So far, yes.
Why aren't you playing more tournaments together?
This is awkward. Should I leave?
No, I'm gonna ask. No, I'm just gonna ask. Like, how do you choose your partners?
I think for me, just being newer to the sport, I've kind of dabbled with finding longer term partners and shorter term partners, and I'm not someone that's going to break a commitment. So I have the next stretch with Christian that we're going to play together.
Sorry, Tyler.
And
Christian's not bad.
And
he's not bad.
It's not a bad consolation.
Yeah.
Prize.
Yeah. No. And Christian and I are excited. We had some good results. We made a final in Daytona, but it's one of those things where I'm learning where it's, I don't want to plan too far out, but I also want to plan far enough out where I'm getting solid partners and excited to play. And I mean, been fortunate enough to get some solid partners, had some good results with everyone so far, and so just trying to keep it running.
Is that answer satisfactory?
Yeah, this is actually great because I was looking up some stuff today and I saw this lady posted in the pickleball forum, and it was from like, I'll find it, but it's from like 2021.
Okay.
And it says, oh, it's some guy. It says, if I was Garnett, I would, it was from 2023, November. I would run, not walk away from Alshon as a partner. I think he's a product of too much hype before he's accomplished anything because he was pretty. It's like he forces everything to keep up with his constructed reputation. He's okay on offense, weak on defense. Run, Connor, run. So who are you playing with, Connor?
Christian Alshon. Let's go.
I like Christian. That's a good pickup.
Yeah. Christian and I have had some success. And I mean, he's a beast. He won the MVP last year. And so he's going to continue to do great things.
What about mixed? Who do you have coming up for mixed? I mean, I did play matchmaker and set you up with Jade. I'm sorry she wasn't better for you.
I think you had a part in the Alex draw.
Oh, yeah, a little bit
as well. Yeah. So, you know.
Look at Jimmy, matchmaking everybody.
I am. Call me Chuck Woolery. Love connection.
Yeah, so.
They're too young for that, Allie. Allie got it.
Yeah, no idea. That went. But
same.
Yeah.
Our demographic will understand.
So I'm playing, I think, Atlanta with Elise, and then
okay.
I have a few with Alex down the road.
Nice.
One with Callie and
Callie, go Diamonds.
Do you prefer being in like a long term partnership where you can get some consistency with somebody?
Is this relationship wise or
no, I mean on and off the court, it's your choice to answer. But or do you prefer like do you like mixing it up and keeping it fresh and
I think there's a good hybrid, and I think like having like enough tournaments with someone where you can get consistency and then continuing to extend it. So yeah. You're not in this awkward phase of like, do we break up and like this weirdness,
yeah.
But having like four tournaments together where you can build as a team. And then if you guys do well, you both can decide to continue to extend it.
So last year you were with Rafa.
Yeah.
And the beginning of this year.
And the beginning of this year.
Yeah. I think Rafa and I, we played you guys in.
Yeah.
Dallas.
That was a crazy match.
Dallas Nationals?
Dallas Nationals,
I called that match, just to be clear.
Yeah.
And one of those videos, Ireland and I called it, has like 16 million views on one of those points on freaking TikTok.
Yeah.
Wow. It's pretty
good.
And
it was, yeah. I mean, yeah, it was indoors. It was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Indoors to like 1 a.m. or something.
Yeah, it was like 1 a.m. and
I don't know about 1, but.
Yeah, that was actually. Late. I think it was 11.
Yeah.
As I said, so, I was like, I'm wrong.
What? It was 1 a.m. somewhere.
True.
Went three games and
five games.
That's right, because it was Nationals. And every game was just out. Actually, the first game, they smoked you. Then every game after that was insane.
Yeah. So we played well, had some success. And I think at the beginning of the year, just like the way we see the game wasn't working as well. So decided.
Would you continue to play with Rafa if he wasn't using a piece of cardboard as a paddle?
I mean, I think Rafa's like even
because that thing sucks.
I don't know. He right now he's playing well. We had a good battle in LA, him and PK, where he was using that Adidas paddle pretty well. So, you know, he's definitely playing better.
You just decided it didn't work though.
Yeah.
How many tournaments did you guys play this year? You did two, the first two.
I think three.
You
two,
did
two or three
Masters, and then the Arizona one or three. Two Arizonas.
Masters and then just the first air, the JW. Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So
that makes sense.
Struggling both.
It was
of
crazy
us.
Because me and Ignatovich played you guys and you guys played insane. Like you guys were playing so good. And then I thought I saw your guys' names in other tournaments and I'm like, oh, this team should beat that matchup. But you guys were on the losing end of a lot of those matchups. So,
yeah. And I think sometimes just like, style-wise of how you view the game and when you guys have a little different
perspective. So how do you view the game? How does Connor Garnett, CG, view the game?
View it as just taking titles, you know?
and Rafa does not.
I mean, no, just sitting here for the last 20 minutes, you can tell that Connor's very cerebral. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he talks about patterns. He talks about watching film. He talks about...
Yeah, and I think just like the kind of how I... Like my style of game where... creating a little bit of chaos. And I think one of the patterns that we struggled with was my two-handed backhand going cross body would get blocked to Rafa's forehand here. And because of the kind of how he takes the bigger cuts at it, it was kind of negating one of my favorite shots.
So you need a lefty version of Colin Johns to just reset that.
Or to get in there, I mean,
Tyler.
When
that's
Tyler and I played,
so
like,
well.
He came in
keep
and
chilling hits, it, Jimmy. I like it.
Hit some of those and like Alshon with that block, and it's it's just being able to handle that kind of middle ball.
When you're playing with Alshon, are you playing left or right or straight up?
Playing majority left, but I mean, whatever it takes to win.
Yeah.
And so, like, if we're getting beat on unwinding the stack, I'll hop on that right.
You're not too prideful.
As long as we can win, I think I've always naturally played the left because I feel more comfortable there.
Yeah.
But it was never I wanted to get on the left because I was like, I want to be that guy.
The alpha, yeah.
It was more that I like that 2E in that cross-court dink and speeding it up.
So if you guys haven't seen, I think Connor has some merch coming out. It's called 2E Nation. And one fun fact, we talked about this on a show previously, but you actually trademarked the word Tui, right?
Yes. So there's a lawsuit coming for Jim. No, I'm just kidding. Would never never do that. But
Jimmy doesn't make anything, so you're not getting anything out
Tui
of it.
For what?
So I filed a trademark for Tui on just like selling like
cool
hats and shirts and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
But Tui merch is on ConnorGarnett.com, and we have some hats they've been selling out. So it's been
sweet.
Great. And yeah, just trying to get the Tui Nation
ConnorGarnett.com.
So your favorite shot, I'm assuming, is your two-hand backhand, which is where
is
you
it
get
the ATP,
Tui.
Though?
The ATP is definitely up there, but off the bounce speed up is, those are tied, I would have to say.
Yeah.
How was your two-hand backhand in tennis?
Yeah, so my left side of my body was always where I felt a lot more comfortable. So I started batting lefty in baseball and then went into tennis.
Well, you throw right.
Throw right. So my dad was
that's like Nadal type.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my dad was like, I'm going to get Connor to be a pro baseball player. So he taught me first time I picked up a bat lefty, and then started picking up tennis, and my backhand just felt comfortable. My forehand was atrocious. Like, I had this little like gnarly hook thing. Everything about it, my coach reconstructed. And so it took a little bit more time to get comfortable on the forehand, but backhand in everything that Tui, I've never really had any technique on it, and it's just kind of been natural.
Because I've been playing, as Jimmy likes to say, for a long, long time, 10 years or so. I've seen a lot of different shots, a lot of different players, everything like that. But your two-hand ATP is insane.
It's
by
dirty.
Far,
dude,
by far the best in the game.
It's
ATP.
Like, so we talked about this, but I had this conversation with Tim Parks. You know Tim Parks?
Yeah.
We had this conversation about the best shots in pickleball, and your Tui was right up there. Mm-hmm. Right. Sweet. And your Tui ATP is, I mean, it looks like you don't have an angle.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
crazy.
The craziest thing
the
is
you
just hold, and then you're able to curve it.
Yeah. It's nuts. Like, do you practice that a lot, or is that something that came really natural because of your motion, or?
It came natural. It's kind of funny. So right as I was kind of making the jump to full-time pickleball, I went out and trained with Tyson, Rafa, and Rob Nunnery. And I was going for this ATP the whole time, and I was missing it a ton. And they're like, it's not there. And I just kept saying, it's always there.
It is there.
And then like 2 months later, now I give them a little bit of grief because it's like, hey, I guess it's now there. So.
Because Rafa actually has a pretty good.
He's got a good ATP too.
He's got a good little hook ATP too.
Yep.
So that's funny because I had someone we asked if they had any questions for you, and somebody said, I wouldn't ask this. So guess what, Chief, I am. How much help was it for your career going up and training with Tyson? Because it seemed like you went up there early in your career and trained with him, right? Like you know Tyson. Is it from just Pacific Northwest or?
So he was a one of the ran the club that I would play some of the junior tennis tournaments at.
Okay,
Ali may have played some of those as well, but he was there. I didn't really process it because I was pretty young at the time. Yeah. But
this
so,
is pre-tats too.
Pre-tats, yeah.
Pre-teeth.
And so we knew each other from that. I saw him in Newport. One of my buddies took a camp from him and played middleman in getting it set up. So him and Blake.
Pickleball or tennis camp?
Pickleball camp. Uh-huh. And so he was the same guy I played my first 5-0 tournament and won gold. His name's Blake Street. Shout out to him. But we went up there and just seeing the pace that Tyson's hitting, I was like, all right, this is just a completely different game than what I was playing with my 4 or 5 buddies at the time. So it really opened my eyes to what could be done and kickstarted that.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it's different. I don't think people understand the gap between 5-0 and pro, we're talking quality pro, and then between
I would even say
that level
to 6 plus.
Yeah. But what I'm saying, that level and then pro that actually competes.
Yeah.
That gap is, I would say that's the largest gap, a gap between you two and say somebody who is, playing in qualies is massive. It's between a 3-0 and a 5-0, in my opinion. It's a huge gap because the game is so different. And there's certain players that you don't see, you don't see Connor Garnett lose to, I don't want to say any names, but you don't lose to those guys because, that gap is so big.
Yeah.
And I think too, it's when you first start your career, the biggest thing I always tell people is play against a solid pro and then you can see really what that difference is. You don't realize it until you see it. And that really helps people get into the pro scene.
Yeah. If pros will let you play with them.
True.
I just tried to get in the game today. Remember?
Yeah. I mean, it's
actually you were accommodating.
Did you ask Sterling?
You were accommodating.
Okay.
Tyler was not. But you haven't seen me play. Tyler has. So maybe.
It'll make you so frustrating.
I'll be fine. Okay, so we asked a bunch of questions.
Okay, should we got pull some questions
coming in.
All yeah, right, I started off.
Yeah, well, I asked one already, but I actually had a lot coming in.
Okay, let's see.
Ask Connor. Oh, this is kind of something we already talked about. If he prefers different partners or like to partner with someone for a committed amount of time. Also, if he could partner with anybody, who would it be, both male and female?
Any partners. I mean, male, that's dangerous because I got Tyler here. I'm playing with Christian. There's a lot of wrong answers. Yes. I think I'm stoked to partner with Christian. I think that's going to be a great partnership.
What about Riley and MLP?
Yeah, we just had two questions. Go for it.
Riley, I think I'm really excited for Riley. I think it's going to be a unique style.
So, who plays the left on that partnership?
So my hunch, and I could be wrong. I'm also down for whatever Riley wants. I just want to win. But I think I'll play like a smaller left, and then he'll kind of come in with that 2E in the middle. Yeah. I think that's probably our most effective strategy of playing. But
yeah. Like, you guys will not hit forehands in that match in men's.
Yeah, I mean, a forehand, I don't even know that word. Yeah. Like, it's all about the 2E in that one. Come on.
Do you like, this is off topic too, do you like rally scoring?
I like rally scoring. I think it's just two different styles. So rally favors whoever is going to be more clutch. So you just have to go in with a different mindset of just like getting in there. The margins are smaller. It's fun. It's just, yeah, different scoring. It's kind of like tennis. You got the ATP tour and you got team tennis where it's like both are great, but you need both.
Yeah. Anything else there?
Who on the mixed side, who are you going to play with? Megan or who's your other girl?
Brooke
Buckner. Who do you think you play with there?
That'll be interesting. I don't know. I haven't played a ton with Brooke. I know her and Colin Schick have had some solid results. Yeah. So
she's got a gold in singles.
In singles, yeah.
I would think Brooke and Riley.
That's what I was thinking.
I just feel like Connor and Megan. Yeah, I think because Riley takes so much court.
Yeah.
You don't want to eliminate Megan. Megan's your number one female. Not that Brooke's not great, but Megan's better than her. Like, I don't think that's a secret. So I would go Connor and Megan. Have you ever played with Megan?
We played Atlanta last year, actually, and did not well. But that was before I had any good mixed results. So we can put the blame fully on me for that.
What about Riley? Have you ever played with Riley?
I have not played with Riley either. But
he just moved back to Phoenix.
He moved back to Phoenix. So that's only
he's getting closer to your hometown of the OC.
Will you be in his videos moving forward?
His videos.
Yeah, like his Instagram stuff.
His cringy videos. Where he's like,
"Oh, I did see the ice bath with him and Alshon last year. You know, we might have to recreate something like that."
Yeah, you should do that. Or when he said, "Pat Smith, that's my guy."
I don't think I saw that one.
They asked him who his favorite player was. And it was right after the Donna porch plant thing. And he goes, "Pat Smith, that's my guy."
In that voice?
It was very breathy, yes.
Why did you have to do it that way?
That's
disturbing. Okay. There's a lot of questions about me and you, Garnett and Loong partnership in 2024. Mm-hmm. Ask him to drop his training routine. Also tips for being a great partner. Ooh, what's your training routine, Connor?
Training routine, I think, is a lot of tournament dependent. So basically what I'm struggling in the last tournament or what I kind of felt like cost me a lot of the matches, I'll do some analysis and then really hit that on the drilling. Make sure like 2 days before the tournament I get out to the tournament, sometimes one day before, get acclimated, do some drilling, get comfortable in all the spots.
Does altitude play a factor for you? Did you notice it at Red Rock?
Yeah, so last year Red Rock, I think Hayden and I played together and got like rocked.
Did you lose to Sterling?
We lost to Sterling in the back. Yeah.
Austin Reed.
And Austin Reed.
This is true.
Who threw his paddle this year and hit a baby. What a dick.
So, yeah, last year altitude, I did notice. We also got rocked by Brendan, Long, and Tyson in the main.
Uh-huh.
And just,
well, who didn't? I mean, those two.
This is true. They were playing really well. But just getting comfortable with the dinks and stuff like that in the altitude. I think now that I've been on tour a little longer, it didn't take me as long to get used to it.
Yeah.
But especially starting out, showing up to those tournaments. Last year in Atlanta, I showed up 2 weeks early, trained with Rafa, Marshall, and Steven down there.
Black Bears.
And
that you cut.
Listen, you got to show up. Rafa's on the chopping block too if he doesn't show up.
But yeah, so got acclimated there 2 weeks, and that was my first big showing. I had a semi in doubles and a final in singles, and I credit a large part of that to going out and being able to train in the conditions and train with those guys.
Fun fact.
Oh, go ahead.
You go ahead.
Well, I just, Colin Johns mentioned that Ben shows up 2 days early to every tournament to get acclimated, especially in the altitude. But Ben decided after LA to go to Disneyland. Okay. And that's why he didn't play singles, because he didn't have his normal time frame to get acclimated because he was riding the credit coaster. So it makes sense.
He's got a plan. Lightsaber.
Yeah. He
built a lightsaber. Fun fact with Connor is I don't know. I kind of prided myself on not taking much of a warm up. I wasn't a big warm up guy. Maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15. I go up to warm up with this guy in Minnesota. Kid you not, within 2 minutes, I'm good to go. I'm like, wow.
That's Tyler's guy.
Yeah.
That's his type of guy, right?
I'm like, wow.
That's his type of guy.
I found my guy.
Yeah.
Like, normally I'm 5 to 10 minutes. This guy within 2 minutes.
Tyler, you played with somebody in mixed. I can't even remember who it was. And they like sent me a text and they were like, couldn't even get a warm up in. Yeah. Tyler was like, ready. And I'm like, wait, like, can we warm up?
Yeah.
Might have been Tyra. Someone. But.
Okay, let's move on.
So Connor's that's good.
You either got it or you don't.
Yeah.
Somebody said, Cairo Nucleus? They said, did Connor like the support of a coach, Austin, and Sports Cairo myself at Los Cab?
Yeah, so that was a huge part of getting the gold, was having Austin and him behind me, Chris, working on me a little bit, and Austin coaching me. Austin is a buddy. I played my first minor league event with him, and he's in.
So dude, you're like a sorry to interrupt, but you're like a, I mean, you've gone all through the ranks. Like, you start your very first event. Did you play 5-0? Your first tournament you ever played?
First tournament I played 4-0.
So you went 4-0.
Ooh.
And then you like worked.
I did not win it. I took third, and I was so pissed I left and didn't take a photo. That's when they were still doing the photos.
Salty Connor.
So you've like worked your way up. You played minor league pickleball. You went challenger. You went premier. Like, you literally are like, you went through all the stages.
Remember what Alshon said? He was like, I'm the first player to ever play Challenger and Premier.
Well,
that can be this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, minor league, Challenger, and now Premier. So now I just got to get the Premier title. Yeah.
And you went, and now you're moving your way up. Like, you went from fourth round pick from the Breakers last year to, were you second? Third?
Third round this year.
Third round this year. So you're like working your way up.
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, you literally have gone through the whole process.
Yeah, it's crazy to kind of think through all of that. Like, minor league, I played actually Onik Lohani, another guy who's playing some of the tournaments now. We did a battle of the backhands in the semifinal of minor league in Austin way back then.
That's sick.
But yeah, Austin was huge. He was giving me a lot of coaching. Like, not necessarily a lot of coaching, but it's always helpful. You look at all the top guys, they have people on their bench, and it just helps you stay par for the course. And I think that's on the mental side too. It's like giving a few pointers. It's like, you're not going to always notice the patterns that aren't working at times. Usually you can, but sometimes it's a little too late. So
you can see
them
better from the sideline usually, right? Yeah. Do you think that's where pickleball is headed, to everybody having coaches?
Yeah, I think it's got to be. I mean,
you look, tennis, you have coaches.
100%. And you look at even like the separation, like the top guys that are winning a lot, they have coaches. Tyson, Ben, Catherine, Anna
Christian,
Lee,
right?
Christian.
He has Lee, yeah.
Yeah, so it's tough to not have a coach.
Would you let Jimmy be your coach?
You know, we might have a tryout, and it could happen.
I'll keep you entertained. I'll keep you entertained when you come to the bench.
Perfect. Yeah, half of it's staying loose too. So it's like staying in the moment, having a coach that you can relax with, and they can give you some insight.
Okay, this is a little bit off topic as well. What have you learned from the investment banking that you use in pickleball? Business side or on the court?
Yeah, I mean, I think my investment banking greatest like start to a career that you can have is 2 years of investment banking. You just get put through the ringer. You learn a lot of just like staying organized, staying on top of things. And I think whether it's with like the merch that I'm launching or just like getting dialed with practices, booking flights, like there's just so much that goes on in pickleball, especially if you're trying to do a lot of things like the social media, the camps, all this stuff, where having that kind of helped me feel comfortable setting up the infrastructure, getting a Shopify store set up, like all these random little things, like filing taxes, all this stuff, like just that, I would say, gave me that. And it allows me to feel confident that I'm doing more than a good chunk of the people.
Like, you can't just show up and play anymore. There's so much more behind the scenes, right? That's required. Yeah. Like, everybody's hiring social media people. There's, I mean, like you said, coaching now. I mean, Ben has his physio on his bench. There is, I mean, there's so many different things. People have trainers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's pickleball trainer, right? He had Catherine. Now he has Anna and James. And I mean, Tyson has his
Stallion performance.
Yeah. So there's so much money that's being that you have to invest now into, I mean, your body, into your sponsorships, your following, things like that. Like, it's not enough just to show up anymore and just play pickleball.
Yeah. And I think too, like, just with tournament entry fees, like, I was fortunate to have a job that was making some decent money to afford like those tournaments, but you're dropping like $500 when you're starting out.
Minimum.
Plus travel, plus all that stuff. So it's probably like $2,000 a tournament.
Yep.
And if you're not doing camps on the side, you're not coaching, you're not filling that as you're starting out, you're going to struggle to make it in pickleball. So you have to be very diligent with that stuff as well, or get a big backer.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's talk about paddles.
Paddles.
Yola Gen 3, you've got the Pro. So I feel like when the Pro XR, and someone's going to be like, oh, Pro XR is not a power paddle, shut up. But when the Pro XR came out, I feel like it had so much spin.
Yeah.
So much grit, right?
Yep.
And they were essentially, let's just call it what it is, they were failing. They were failing for grit.
Not for deflection.
But for grit. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now it's like we're a year down the road or 6-9 months down the road, and it's like the game continues to step up. What's the limit? Do you think paddles are too powerful and too gritty?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting kind of topic because I think grit allows for a lot more shots that you haven't seen before, but I don't think it adds to any like danger of the game.
Yeah.
Where power could add danger to the game. That being said, whatever the paddle technology is out there, I'm just ready to play and take it on and see what happens. But I would say, as you're looking as a governing body, those are the things you want to think about. It is something detracting from the game. I mean, I like spin, so maybe I'm a little biased, but I think it allows for cooler shots, so it could enhance the game. I think power maybe could detract from the game if it gets to X level. That could be 10 times what we're at now. It could be less than what we're at now.
Do you think it's changed the strategy of the game because paddles are so more powerful?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Become a drive and crash game?
Yeah. I mean, I think you look at the JW, that one match with like the 10 body bags with Eric Lang and those guys, Zane, all them. And I think, but I think you look at when paddles started turning, whether it was 21 or whenever that was, that had to have changed the game quite a bit as well. So there's always going to be evolution to the game. And we just have to make sure that it's not detracting from the entertainment value for the fans.
So that's the biggest thing is obviously, I agree with you there, entertainment value. So what's the most entertaining form of pickleball? Is it sitting at the kitchen and dinking? Is it, you know, because for me...
Well, to be honest, I mean, from a normal perspective or person's perspective, somebody that hasn't played pickleball, they would love to see more power.
Yeah.
They'd love to see those firefights. I think so too.
So do we see more speed ups? Do we see like where's that the most, you know, entertaining? Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, watching Ben and Colin against J-Dub and Dylan is not the most entertaining pickleball unless you're a purist, right? If you're a purist, you're like, oh, they're dink patterns. Look at this counter. Look at the speed up. But watching you and Connor against, or you and Ignatowicz against Rafa and Connor, that's exciting pickleball, right? Like,
It's interesting too, because that was a Franklin ball with power paddles. So it kind of married both, where it's like the pace of the, like, you need a certain amount of pace, but you don't want it to get kind of taken away. So you have to find that happy medium there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What else, Jimmy?
Did you have more questions?
I mean, a lot of them were about me and you and partnerships.
Cute.
Tennis or pickleball?
Yeah, you're.
What's harder?
What's harder? I mean, I think there's a big tweet from Alshon that came out throwing some heat in this, but I would say different skill sets. So tennis, like the technique of tennis, hitting like a clean winner forehand or whatever is one of the greatest feelings out there. But the kind of the nuance of the kitchen game in pickleball, I think, is something that tennis doesn't have. So there's definitely kind of pros and cons to both.
So what's harder?
What's harder? I mean, to be a top tennis player is definitely harder than pickleball right now. But, you know, a couple of years.
Talk to your partner, Christian, about that. He'll have some words for you.
Have you, when's the last time you picked up a racket?
Ooh, probably like last December. So
how were you? Because Tyler just played not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. I was not bad. The volleys were just awful. I didn't trust my volleys, but
yeah,
serve and ground strokes started to
come
out.
So I walked out on a tennis court and I was amazed at how spacious the tennis court was.
So
just tracking the ball over the net, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so big.
So Lacey Schneeman posted a video of her playing tennis just barely.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it was.
Was she a collegiate player?
I think she might have only played in high school. Okay. Did you know she has a twin sister?
I did not
either. So she said her doubles partner was her twin sister.
Wow.
So I didn't know that either. But she was saying that she hadn't played in a long time, and it, like, watching her try to serve and like volleys, mm-hmm. volleys were the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because it's just
volleys
so
were
different.
Actually pretty, yeah. It was just tracking the ball. Like, yeah. How much time was in between from when you hit it versus when they were coming back to the ball?
So that was the other thing. She's like, man, this court feels huge.
Massive.
Like, it feels so big.
Yeah.
I mean, you can technically put four pickleball courts on one tennis court.
Yeah.
It's true. So,
but guys like you, like, are fast and athletic. Like, that makes sense for tennis, right? It gives you so much time to run the ball down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because the speed in tennis versus the speed in pickleball is a little different, too. Because it's more like quick twitch in pickleball,
yeah.
versus tennis. If you're just like a faster, like longer legs,
it's very flowy. It's like it doesn't hurt your body that much. In singles pickleball, it's like ladder drills, suicides. You're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like quick.
Yeah, makes sense.
Crazy.
Connor, you're the big. I think one of the big, like, underrated things about you in singles is how you anticipate shots from your opponent. I feel like you are already sprinting to where the ball's going before they make contact. Like, do you feel like you study that? How did you get so good at anticipation? Because you are fast as well, but.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of watching film and a little bit of just the natural speed. And I think it's actually a good question because I hadn't thought about this too much, but I was thinking about this. I feel faster when I play like the guys that I normally play. And so a lot of that is just getting used to that or watching film. Whereas if I play someone first round, I feel a little bit slower just because I haven't probably watched the film on them or done that. So there's definitely some of that for sure.
That's such an underrated quality, is being able to predict or anticipate the next shot.
I thought you were going to
talk about this.
I thought you were going to say underrated question, but keep going.
Dave Weinbach, I always talk about him. Everyone thinks he has crazy fast hands, and he does have good hands, but mm-hmm. what he does better than almost anybody is he anticipates really well. And so one thing you can do against him is slow the ball down, and some of the times you'll catch him where he's just on anticipating the ball and he'll just swing and miss because he's anticipating that ball. But if you're able to slow it down, then you get him. So anticipation is huge.
That's why changing speeds matters.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, that's where the speed ups are going now too, is a lot of like
off pace, misdirection, everything.
I think Tardio is really good at that.
You love his deception, apparently.
I do. I think his deception is
what do you
really
think
good.
Is I mean, there's a lot of good qualities, but what do you think is Tardio's top two best qualities in his game?
Hand speed for sure.
Okay.
And just like the non-tennis style of him at the kitchen line. Like, he's so like flowy that you don't know where he's going to go. Whereas a lot of like the tennis type players, it's a lot easier to predict. So when you give Tardio, it's the same as shout out to one of your Black Bears, DJ. When you give like those guys time to create, like they can do so much with it that you just can't really anticipate.
Yeah. Yeah, he was harping on his deceptiveness, and I think he does have good deception, but I was saying just his overall hand speed and his aggression.
Yeah.
Just reaching in there.
He's super aggressive too, but I just feel like kind of like Connor said, is he holds his shots to the last second. And it's like, you're just staring like, where's the ball going to go? What's going to happen? And
kind of AJ like,
AJ like, but more consistent. but Tardio, I'm not sure anybody hits more clean winners than Tardio from the kitchen line.
Yeah. He goes,
you
for
know,
it.
He goes, yeah. But he also goes for it a lot.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure he, you know, that's, we talked about this. That's how you lose 11-1 and then come back and win 13-11, 11-0. Because he may miss five or six in a row, but he's always going for it.
So let's relive the glory days when we partnered. What were some of the better matches? Because I felt like we had a pretty tough draw.
Yeah.
Were there any matches that stood out to you or that you learned a valuable lesson or?
Yeah. I mean, I think when we played, I think the first one was our first, like,
Jack and Julian.
That was,
that was a close one.
That was just scrap. Like, we just kind of just played solid.
Yeah.
And I think that one, we were slowly pushing our advantage and got away with that one. The Fed and Pablo one was a battle. One of the things that I noticed when we were playing that I liked was you had this kind of in the transition zone, like, attack that didn't really look like an attack where you're just kind of there.
I didn't mean for it to be an attack, but
and then you would just go,
I wasn't
like,
planning on that,
smack it through, and we got some points off that. And then just having your Ernie a threat at all times just allowed us to kind of move the ball around and put up more pressure on their dinks, and that was just a really cool feeling.
So what happened in the finals in your view?
Yeah,
so
I mean,
played Christian and Thomas.
Christian and Thomas. Yep.
And they came out in the first game, they won.
They beat us pretty good, like 3-1.
They smacked us the first
and
game.
And in the second game,
we got the second
game. You got the second game, and you were up in the third
game. In the third game by like 2 or 3 points, I think.
Yeah. And it felt like you had all the momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there was like a couple shots that we just weren't able to execute. And it was pretty close. And they just started consistently driving. Their drive was really effective there. Mm-hmm. And we just needed to find like a pattern of attack. And we didn't really have it necessarily that we could kind of rely on at that kitchen line. And I think also, this was a little while ago, but I would probably argue that the biggest thing was us getting up to that kitchen line, I think was...
So that's funny because I was going to say in the second game, it felt like you guys handled their drives way better.
Yeah.
And you guys were actually driving the ball. And so you were keeping them off balance and you were taking the kitchen before they were. In the first game, it was like you didn't know what hit you. But then you did a great job of handling that. And then they adjusted late in game three.
Yeah.
And it seemed that they kind of found the offense again.
Yeah.
But when you were at the kitchen, you were winning every point.
Yeah, once we got up to the, like, I felt like our combos at the kitchen in all those matches were very strong.
Yeah.
It was just getting up to that kitchen with that drive combo. And sometimes some of these other teams were more effective at punishing the unwind of the stack.
Yeah. Gotcha. Anything else, Jimmy?
No. Love having Connor here.
Okay, so
the flesh,
once again, throw us your website.
Perfect.
What is it?
ConnorGarnett.com.
And that's where you get all your merch?
All the merch, Tui Nation hats, the Pro XR paddle, anything your heart desires.
Anything.
Anything.
Anything your heart desires. Wow.
What does your heart desire, Jimmy? Yeah.
Connor, are you single?
I am single. I know there are some questions. I think the most asked question in Houston was, is Connor Garnett single? So the PPA did a little thing on that. Allie was around in that tournament. She's been helping me with... everything.
So you're not dating Allie.
I am not dating Allie.
A lot of rumors out there. We got
to
dispel
a lot of rumors that I started out there. Just kidding.
But yeah, so yeah, so Allie's Connor's been doing everything COO related, but I am single. So, you know, the Bachelor, if they want me, I would throw my hat in the ring for that.
Dude, the Golden Bachelor that played pickleball already got divorced. 3 months. Dude, 65. Like, what are you pissed about? You're 65. Just take what you can get.
So I only got to beat 3 months and it's a success is what I'm doing.
Somebody else wrote in and said, who's your favorite sister?
Who's my favorite sister?
Yeah.
Like sister pairing?
I don't know.
Sister?
Do you have a sister?
I do not have a sister.
Oh, I don't know what they were meaning.
Like the Brashas, the Kawamotos.
Yeah.
They just said, who's your favorite sister? I don't know.
That, you know, Twisted Sister. We'll lock that in.
Oh, there you go. little hairband action. Yeah, not bad. Do you have any siblings?
Only child.
Oh, wow.
Explains I think I so did much. Hear that, actually.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. Just kidding. Why I'm great.
And where do your parents still live?
So they live in, not in Orange County, actually, surprisingly, to Jimmy's chagrin.
Surprisingly.
Adam.
They live in Seattle. So
where you were born in.
Where I was born.
Where you grew up, went to high school, lived for the majority of your life.
But now I'm in Orange County, yes.
But correct. Now you currently moved to Orange County. So the OC kid, ladies and gentlemen, the Orange County kid, Connor Garnett.
Exactly.
Okay, how do people stay up to date with you? Social media, you already gave your website.
Yeah, so you can follow a lot of my stuff on Instagram, Con Garnett, C-O-N-G-A-R-N-E-T-T. If you're struggling with my last name, Kevin Garnett, just same last name.
KG. KG and CG.
Exactly. And then have a newsletter that goes out every other Wednesday that we just started.
One of those.
So, you know, you that's another
what, what's in the, do you do like tips? Do you do like, what's in the newsletter?
Tips, stuff like that, just like recaps. And then I also have links like, to my YouTube, stuff like that. And
like
there.
Updates on your tournaments and things?
Updates on that. But, you know, try and keep it fun. I think a lot of content out there is pretty repetitive. So just Amen. Giving looks at like, oh, what's going on in pickleball? And then I'll also have some YouTube videos. And I think that's just Connor Garnett out there with how to hit the two-handed backhand is up so, there, stuff like that.
In closing, give me one. If I'm a 4-0, which yes. I'm not, I'm a 5.097. But Jack give Cooper. Me one drill if you're a 4-0 that you should...
For your backhand.
For your backhand.
Yeah, so I would say the drill is working on getting some side spin on the ball. So a lot of times people are hitting it like a tennis shot. And if you can kind of start to work on getting around the ball with that, is going to be great. It's tough to give like a specific drill as opposed to just coaching with a backhand.
Yeah.
I would say the drill that I would recommend for someone at the 4-0 level, probably the two drills, I'll add one more in there, is aggressive dinking at the kitchen. So many people are just kind of waiting for the pop-up. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of working on that, only speeding up out of the air, forcing yourself to be a little more aggressive. And then the 7-11 drill, which is just working your way up to the kitchen. If you can't get up to the kitchen and you can't dink aggressively, you're not really going to be succeeding at those higher levels.
Got it.
Real quick, what are your thoughts on Jimmy? Be honest.
Whew, that's a tough question, you know? No, he was, I think we first met when you were drafting for BLQK.
Yeah, so we were in New York.
In New
together.
York, yeah.
Yeah, New, we York, were New York
together. We were that ping,
was the ping pong, ping pod, I think.
Ping pod, yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Had
the dinner.
And before. The dinner.
And we went to dinner. Yeah.
So, you know, it was a good time.
And that was your first time meeting him.
First time meeting him.
And we hit it off right away.
Hit it off, you know. Like, some might say love at first sight.
Yeah, we were boys.
I was hoping you were going to say something.
We were boys immediately. Like, it was right away, Connor and I, boom.
Done. We only tried to fight each other 3 times that night.
It wasn't
but
a big deal.
That's
good.
Small numbers.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
No, I think that's it. By the way, you know I used to make fun of Rafa wearing his sunglasses on his hat?
Yeah.
He brought that up to me yesterday.
He didn't like it?
He just said, then that's why I wear my sunglasses on my hat or something like that.
So and why was it?
Just because he said that he doesn't need them, but he still wants to get paid.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a unique look. It gives attention.
But when we saw him in New York, that was the first time I met Rafa, and he literally took his sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
And he took them off his hat, and he stared at me. Anyways. Okay, Connor, right. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for
you
coming
guys.
On.
Thanks for having me.
If you've made it this far, please do us a big favor. Hit that like and subscribe button. Also, go check out Connor Garnett's channel. He's pumping out a ton of pickleball stuff. So
yeah, and ConnorGarnett.com. Go buy the Tui Nation gear. It's sick.